Supergroups have a long tradition in popular music. The Highwaymen, the Three Tenors, the Wu-Tang Clan. Recently, a group of established indie rock musicians put their own spin on the tradition. They cheekily call themselves Monsters of Folk, and they've just released their debut album. Critic Will Hermes has this review.
As a rule, I'm not a fan of supergroups. They usually water down individual visions without nailing down a collective one, and most pop stars aren't so good at sharing the spotlight. But when I heard that Connor Oberst and Mike Mogus of Bright Eyes, Jim James of My Morning Jacket, and solo artist M. Ward were teaming up, I figured, okay, I love their work separately. With any luck, it'll be, maybe a Traveling Wilburys. Turns out, these guys are in Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young territory.
It's a road that you paved over Indian graves, and you wonder why your dreams are crazed. So you cling to your wife, your kids, and your life. There's nothing that you're gonna say. Put the razor to your face, hot water for a shave. Kill the shadow of yesterday. Clean shirt, clean pants, clean slate, second chance. You're going by another name. Some far off feeling, up close kind of ache. That instant karma always comes to
Okay, maybe Monsters of Folk are more disaffected than Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and perhaps a little less polished. But like many of the year's outstanding indie rock records by Grizzly Bear, Animal Collective, and Dirty Projectors, the warmth and power of vocal harmonies are central to the Monsters of Folk record, and not in any single way. The men may be folkies on one song, rockers on another, and at one point, they do a halfway decent impression of The Impressions.
Well, I've been thinking about, and I've been breaking it down without an answer. I know I'm thinking aloud, but if your love's still around, why do we suffer? Why do we suffer?
Beyond the singing, Monsters of Folk have three of rock's best songwriters working at the top of their game. Some songs have one man's imprint, like this one with lead vocals by M. Ward.
Roll on, oh little train. Brake man, blow your whistle, throw your weight upon the chain. Oh, make way, whatever will be, will be. For the sad man, the brave man in me.
Other songs seem like real collaborative efforts, and they work a few thematic threads. One is the idea of God, and another related theme is war.
Sweet soldier boy, the speaker's bleeding. He hears his master's voice. Do you hear? Master's voice calling like the lady. Sirens call.
Monsters of Folk might be addressing big themes, but there's little certainty in their lyrics. In that way, they feel less like a supergroup and more like, I don't know, a therapy group, although far more musical than any of the ones I've been in.
Will Hermes reviewed the eponymous debut album from the supergroup Monsters of Folk. You can hear tracks from the album at nprmusic.org.
Los Angeles became the center of the record business after World War II, and by the mid-60s, housed not only successful independent labels, but also labels affiliated with movie studios like Warner Brothers and Universal. So it's no surprise to learn that there was a thriving rock scene there, and that it was captured on thousands of records. With the release of Where the Action Is, Los Angeles Nuggets, Rhino Records has tried to document it all, from the garages to the sound stages, on four CDs. Rock historian Ed Ward has a review.
Well, I've been watching you dance for a while, little girl, and I'd like to have a chance.
In a way, it's a shame that for some time the perception of 60s rock history in America was tied to a San Francisco-based magazine, Rolling Stone, which brought a long-standing regional rivalry into the discussion. San Francisco was groovy and organic, Los Angeles was commercial and plastic, and that was that. But there was nothing plastic about the scene developing in the clubs on the several-block-long stretch of Sunset Boulevard called the Sunset Strip, where folkies like the Byrds went to experiment with electric instruments, and bands like the Leaves sang double entendre songs about drugs, just like San Francisco bands did. Los Angeles had a lot of other things going for it. For one, it was a much larger city and had suburbs and neighborhoods in which it seemed every garage had a band.
You got the soul, baby. I got the faith. You got the soul, baby. It's all it takes to jump, jive and harmonize. To jump, jive and
one of the toughest garage bands was The Midnighters, who broke another stereotype by being Mexican-Americans from East Los Angeles. Jump, Jive, and Harmonize, recorded live in 1967, was just one of their masterpieces. And there were also typically snotty teenage bands like The Mustangs in suburbs like Glendale.
I was watching you last night when you and that guy walked down the street.
Where all this gets interesting is that unlike San Francisco or the many other cities where music scenes were emerging at this time, Los Angeles had top-flight studios where a developed band could record, the cream of America's studio musicians to step in for a band member who couldn't play a part, experienced managers who could guide a band's career, and people with money looking to invest it in an act which could provide them with a nice return. This was a volatile mixture. It could mean that Dean Martin's son, Lucille Ball's son, and a friend of theirs could become a band and get a deal with no problem, although it's still a surprise to hear how good Dino, Desi, and Billy really were, or that odd combinations could take to the studio, as Peter Fonda and exiled South African trumpeter Hugh Masekela did, and a proven artist could get the budget to indulge in artistic vision.
Phantom, Phantom, Phantom.
Phantan was ostensibly by Jan and Dean, although it was produced and sung by Jan Berry, recorded while he was still partially paralyzed from the 1966 auto accident which almost killed him. This studio music, the very thing that occasioned the catcalls of plastic from the San Franciscans, was the most distinctive part of the L.A. scene, the thing that made it different, although live-based bands like The Doors, Love, The Byrds, and Buffalo Springfield were also very active. Where the Action Is, the four-disc set, which includes all these songs, has been masterfully curated by Alec Palau, who also helped put together the companion box of San Francisco music, Love is the Song We Sing. From legendary clubs like Beto Lito's, Ciro's, and The Trip, to recording studios like Gold Star and Western, L.A.'s music scene was every bit as important as San Francisco's, and even better documented. And if some of it was plastic, well, what do you think they made records out of anyway?
Ed Ward lives in the south of France. He reviewed Where the Action Is, Los Angeles Nuggets, on Rhino Records. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. WHYY's chief content officer is Christine Dempsey. I'm Terry Gross.